Welcome to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're pouring ourselves a damn fine cup of coffee to discuss Lynchian. I'm your host, Mara Eakin, and I'm joined, as always, by Cameron Sheets. Cameron, hello!
Howdy, howdy, howdy. We're back, and it's already the penultimate episode of the season. What the heck?
I think we're going to be dissatisfied with the finale, and then it wasn't supposed to be the finale, so... yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably true. I mean, these are the topics discussions we've been having the past few episodes, but it's just like, how are they going to change things? And now that we know that it's actually, I think last we recorded, we didn't know that next week was going to be the last one, but that was the last they actually got to shoot. So now it's like, could they have changed anything after the fact? Probably not. I think you're right. I think we do just kind of have to end there.
Yeah, it should be really strange. In terms of this episode, I guess the first sort of ice puncher question is, are you a David Lynch person?
Well, I think that, like, in terms of me just being a big movie fan all my life, like, sure, certainly. I'm not a hardcore Lynch head. I'm no hardcore Lynch head, but you got to imagine I have seen Mulholland Drive many times and love it. And of course, who can forget Blue Velvet with starring my beloved Laura Dern.
I have seen neither of those.
No?
Have
you seen any?
I mean, I've watched all of Twin Peaks, including Firewalk with Me. I kind of stopped halfway through the new season. It just, like, isn't my thing. Like, I was watching it because it was one of those things where it got to the point where I was like, I gotta fucking watch this. Like, we talk about it so much at work. And
all the time. Yeah.
And my husband really likes it. So, like, we just finished, we watched it. But yeah, I think it helped me with last night's ep to some degree because, like, I could recognize vibes and tones. And
yeah,
I thought specifically the music was really good in the sense that it was, like, I think they took a little Lynchy kind of Twin Peaksy music vibe there. So. Mm-hmm.
No, I'd agree with
that.
And
the refs.
I was... Right. I mean, which I think are... largely relegated to the video store Blue Velvet with the Scarlet Suite in the back, which is a very Twin Peaks thing.
Yeah, with the they didn't do the zigzag floor, but they did the like the shining floor, and it was pretty solid.
I know. I wondered why they made that decision, but maybe they just thought it was too obvious to do it any other way.
Yeah,
but otherwise it wasn't. I don't think you would ever look at this in the same way that last season's noir episode was, like, very noir. Like, this didn't seem entirely too different from, like, original Recipe Riverdale. But, yeah, you're right. The music was a little bit different. And I guess in the sense that, like, there's, like, this illicit underground tickle ring, that kind of feels Lynchy in a way, too.
It feels like in Twin Peaks, like, what was the bar they went to? Like, in Canada, across the border? Do you remember, like, One-Eyed Jack's or whatever?
Yeah, I think that's
a little bit of that vibe, like, both from the Maple Club and, some other things.
Right, right. I mean, it's obviously, as we've talked about, the show has just always kind of been, like, subtle or not so subtle tips of the hat to David Lynch's work. So I think I expected this episode to go a little bit harder because of that, and it didn't really. But, I mean, that's to say, like, I still enjoyed the episode, to put it out there up front.
I don't think they can go too far, because then it's like, why does this hurt? Like, why is this so annoying? But I did really feel like it was more Lynchian than it has been. Or even kind of the tone of some of the script. Just like how you Betty, you're so young and beautiful. What could you possibly have to be worried about? Like, just like that kind of shit where you're like...
That's a good point.
Like, that does seem kind of Lynchian.
Yeah, that's a great point. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Line was kind of like, what does that even mean? But just a tip of the hat. Well, we should get into the episode. I mean, I think this is one of those episodes where we get a handful of plot lines and they all are interwoven in ways, but it's kind of like, we can talk about, for example, Jughead's story, and it's pretty self-contained in terms of, like,
yeah, especially because Betty's like, I am not getting involved in another plot, you deal with it.
Yeah,
which
I respect.
Interesting. I respect it, but it's also like, just because she wants to be with Archie, or like, what, why?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I respect her being like, it's the end of the school year, I need to focus on school, and you keep not focusing on school, but obviously she's focusing on something else entirely, which is a betrayal of Jughead's trust. And
and the yearbook, apparently.
Yeah, and that, which I thought, I kind of mentally flagged it was weird that Honey was like very into that being done. I don't know. I guess just that's just him being the principal, but it's like, that's the first we've heard of it. So
it was, we can talk about that, I guess, when we talk a little bit more about Betty. But like, sure. As far as Jughead, basically, he gets the vibe that Ethel dropped off these tapes, mm-hmm. and like the one, like the murder tape, the one that has him and Betty on it. And she, yes. So they get this sort of, he talks to her. She's like, no way. I'm just trying to get out of here, trying to get out of school. And then, so they go to the Bijou Theater. Like, what if it's a filmmaker? Which, like, duh, they should have thought about that a while ago. Because, like, mm-hmm. how do you make all these tapes, you know? The Paramecium Records, which is Amoeba. And Blue Velvet Rentals. Which also, like, it was extremely weird to me that Jughead's never been in that video store.
I had the same thought. He acted like he's like, well, this feels like it came out. It's like, yeah, how have you not been there before?
I know. Like, he's, I mean, like, I know because he's streaming or whatever, but, like, seems mm-hmm. like you, dude, would, like, have been there.
I'm just, like, I don't know. I'm very happy you flagged that because that does feel like a very, like, us concern. It's like, no, there's no way. Jughead knows about this place and frequents it because he loves the movie theater and knows the Bijou. It just seemed odd, but...
Yeah, their selection seemed a little dicey, like, you know, like one tiny shelf of horror movies, but, yeah, you know, props to the props team, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, truly, if, I mean, maybe we see it again in the next episode, but, like, if they built this whole set and the Scarlet Suite set just for this episode, it's like, yeah, good job. It's pretty detailed little place. And then, of course, there's the clerk who is kind of talking in a very, like, David Lynch. What was his Twin Peaks character's name?
Oh, God. Cameron.
It was something basic like Garrett.
Or so. Yeah.
But he kind of was speaking with that tone, that
he also kind of cleans it up really quick, too, where it's like, it makes you feel like he's not involved at all. He's like, yeah, I don't care. Go ahead. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. but not in that tone. But then also, like, he's totally involved because there's, like, the Scarlet Suite, which is, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's been to the video stores that have, like, the dirty adult room in the back. Like, there were multiple ones in Athens.
I worked at one. Yeah, well, that's true. I can't remember. There's a possibility I talked about it on the podcast before, but I did work at a Family Video, which I think all, if not most of them, well, this was a video chain, very Midwestern, that was smaller.
Where did you work? In Cuyahoga Falls?
Yeah, where I grew up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a bunch of them there. And I worked there. That was like as soon as I was 18, you had to be 18 to work there because there was the adult section in the back. I started working there. But the thing I always say is that the adult section in my store specifically was back around the corner, but then sectioned off by a pair of like saloon doors. Mm-hmm. And I was like, bad decision. Any kid that sees us is going to want to swing through them. Like, why would you not? But, yeah, definitely didn't keep people from, like, darting back there. Good times.
Yeah.
And aside.
Anywho. But, I mean, I guess I was surprised they didn't go in there to begin with. But what they do find out mm-hmm. is, well, let's talk about the AV Club part first.
Oh, yeah, I did throw a note in there, too, just because I was like, oh, wow, a shout out to the website that we call home.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, I'd like to think it's a little tip to us. It could just be, you know, in sure. reference. But I will say that, like, I don't think kids these days, like, I don't think schools have that.
No.
And a lot of people we talk to don't know what the AV Club even means.
That's true. People do get confused. And I'm like, you at least know what that is, even if you don't know what our website is. Like, but sometimes that confuses them, too. Audiovisual.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could have said, does it have a video club? Or, like, does it have, like, a film club?
Mm-hmm.
But they said which AV I guess, club. So.
I guess that's kind of right. We're going to take that as a direct shout-out.
And also, because... again, the Jughead didn't know that they have one. When he videotaped the musical and made a movie about it, is like,
uh-huh.
whatever. I don't buy it.
I gotta... No, of course. And Ethel being the president, like, we've... I don't know. She's a very funny character. But so is Miss Bell, who gets a couple lines here and is just, like, is British. So I don't know why, but I love that about her. And she's rising up in the ranks quickly of my favorite tertiary characters now.
Put her in the bracket, yeah, next year.
The next bracket, of course. But basically, out of that conversation, Jughead finds out that Charles was there to ask Ethel about things, too. And he seems kind of mad. And it's not that Jughead doesn't trust Charles, even though he shouldn't. I think he's just like...
I think he's protective of Ethel to some degree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as we find out, Ethel has a sex tape of him and Betty, which not she says she's never watched.
Yeah. Which I'm like, no, she watched it. But not just any sex tape. It is the sex tape titled Ponytail Playmate, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you better believe that is going to be the title of this podcast episode. But yeah, so Jughead kind of confronts her about it. That's not entirely true. I do believe everything that Ethel tells Jughead, but it is kind of one of those things where it's like she knows a little bit more.
Frankly, it seems like a lot of people know a little bit more. Like, yeah, if fucking what's his face took it there to begin with. I can't even remember his name now. The fratty school guy.
Rowdy school guy.
Fratty, like the douchebag.
Oh.
Brett Weston, right. Wallace. If he even dropped it off there to like get it into circulation, like,
yeah,
how did he know about it, you know?
Good point.
And how did none of them know about it? Like, how's Jughead never heard of this? Again, I don't buy it, but let's suspend our disbelief.
Yeah, for the sake of the plot, of course.
But what they find in there is the fucking Jason Blossom murder tape, the snuff film, which we saw in season one, I want to say, right? And it was like, no one can ever see this, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how anyone got that.
Yeah, that's a true throwback. I mean, I don't really remember how that all came into play anyway. Like, I knew that they saw it and they all watched it and were freaked out by it. But yeah, how could it have ended up anywhere else? We don't really know. And I guess that's part of the mystery.
Yeah. And in the end, what happens is that Betty gets roped back into this scheme or this plot, and they go over to Cheryl's because she got a copy of the tape, but it's like the masked version of the tape.
Yeah, it's again like the Archie Comics masks, and it is pretty freaky for sure. I love that element of it. I think it's really fun in a horrifying way.
But related, we also find out a frequent shopper of the store is Mr. Honey.
Yeah.
So that to me suggests he knows what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, they're definitely trying to keep it open-ended. I think it's got to mean something that we saw that the actual Blossom murder tape was in the Scarlet Suite snuff section.
Mm-hmm.
And then for it to have been recreated. So it definitely feels like somebody that frequents the video store is obviously the one recreating these tapes. I don't know who they're killing. Like, we're actually seeing someone get murdered here. In the Jughead Betty one, I wasn't entirely sure. Unless they're that good at practical effects and it's faked. But, you know, somebody gets shot in the head.
I mean, maybe the Jughead... Was there a tape of that? No, because it didn't happen.
No, that's what I was wondering then, too.
Yeah,
there isn't a tape of Jughead getting bashed by a rock because, it didn't actually happen.
Weird.
Much to think about. The other one I've got to talk about right now is the whole rum war storyline, because, you know, lest we forget, Veronica and Cheryl started a maple rum of their own and are constantly tied up in the business workings of that.
Yeah, and now they're branching out into the college crowd because her dad locked down all the casinos with Elio's family.
Right.
And they're doing Maple Claw, which I think is supposed to be like affordable rum based on what those guys bought. But also, yuck, it's like cheap maple rum.
Well, yeah, but and also just in name, it's like clearly supposed to be a play on White Claw, which I assume college kids do like and I actually enjoy. But like, that's a play on sparkling beverages. I can't imagine that sensation with a maple rum flavor.
Yes, I mean, it's very gross. I was just trying to think about disgusting. What those guys bought. And also, like, You're not, like, branching out that much if you're just selling, like, three cases to a party. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Compared to, like, casino sales and being an exclusive rum distributor. Anyways, whatever. I mean, small time.
You're undervaluing just how much college kids drink right now, I think.
I know, but if I had seen, like,
no, more than three cases,
I would be in on it. If they were selling, like, kegs, we could talk. So then the Malloy family. You always get these, like,
I know,
stereotypical, like, dirtbag families. You know what I mean?
Where they, that's
like,
probably the best way to put it, yeah.
Yeah. So they come in and they're like, hey, we've made moonshine maple rum for maple moonshine for years. and so Veronica, like, laughs it off because she thinks it's her dad. Turns out right. It wasn't.
I mean, maybe it was. No, it wasn't.
No, I don't think it was because Hiram goes to, like, rough the son up, thinks he wins, but doesn't kill him. Walks away, gets the shit beat out of him, then goes back and kills the dad, but Veronica doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I wasn't sure about. Like, were those, like, Veronica obviously assumed that they were pawns to begin with, but I was like, maybe they really are, but yeah, I guess the way it ends, it would lead you to believe that they had no idea. They're just an honest business trying to make it.
Maybe it was Penelope. I don't know.
I definitely felt suspicious of Penelope because, like, you know, Veronica gets called to the Maple Club and Cheryl's there and she's upset. And I mean, as far as we're mumsy. Told.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this happened according to Penelope.
Mm-hmm. And she just very happens to be there when those guys are there. I mean, she's always there because she lives there and is, like, trapped there. But yeah, still.
It was fun to see her again, though. I do miss that crazy, crazy woman.
I know. And then also to say that Cheryl is now out of the rum business because it's too high stakes for her.
Which, honestly, good move. You got college to worry about. You don't need to be tied up in all of that.
I know.
But then what that does, coupled with the aforementioned, like, Hiram assault, is, I guess, puts Veronica back in his good graces, or at least she's starting to trust him again because, she asks him for help because now she has to buy Cheryl out, which, sure. But she only probably feels comfortable doing that because she, as she explicitly says, she's like, well, you didn't kill someone, so maybe you are improving. Maybe you are becoming a better person.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
She just feels sorry for him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Well. He's, in theory... As he tells us, he's sick, but I don't know.
Yeah. He's weak. Also, there's some speculation that he'll be on Katie Keene at the season finale. So, whoa. I think I DM'd it to you.
You
so,
did, like, you did.
That's supposed to be 5 years in the future, so how sick is he if he's there? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
That's we'll a great see. Point. But that finale won't air until after we've seen... the last episode of the... Well, yeah, not that that matters, but maybe we'll find out that he's not actually dying next week anyway.
Yeah, who knows?
Let's take our first break.
Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi... People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself. All right, we're back, and we have to talk about it, Cameron.
I know.
Margie. Ugh. these two just cannot stop thinking about each other. She's reading her fifth grade diaries, so we get to see, like, two kids making eyes at each other, and then he is writing a sensitive song about her.
No thanks. I do like the flashbacks. I think it's cute, and again, as we talked about...
It's a lot of, like, fifth graders just, like, laying next to each other and holding hands.
I know.
Very kind of... That would never happen, but go on.
Yeah, it's pretty goofy. I mean, definitely in fifth grade, you're still like, cooties.
Right? Yeah.
But I did think the flashbacks were nice. And again, it's like, at least now the show is committing to it a little bit and like trying to, you know, get us to buy why they would have these lingering feelings. Like, you know, they just, he proposed to her.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Like, we never, they right. didn't tell us that in the first season, like, she just all of a sudden liked him, you know?
Uh-huh.
And like, there was,
because he got hot, as they said,
but there was also no sort of like background to that. It was just like, oh, she was the girl next door and like all of a sudden she had a crush on him, and like, that was weird, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, but that doesn't vibe with what we're learning now. But maybe, I guess there's like 5 intervening years there or something, you know?
That's true. There's some time we still don't know about. We'll get the spinoff series, the Archie the Younger Years, pretty soon. But I think, like, I mean, my favorite little detail to come out of the diary stuff was Betty mentioning how Archie fell off his bike and got a scar, which, of course, is, like, not Archie Comics lore, but is just, like, that KJ Apa has that little scar. So
I
like the show doing
that. I thought, as an adult woman, this whole time, I was just like, why are you guys cheating? Like, if you want to be together and you want to, like, quote unquote, do more, break up with the people you're with who you supposedly love and then be together. Like, you don't need to, like, sneak around. You know what I mean? Like, you're just going to hurt more people that way.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that that's why Betty specifically says when Archie starts playing a song, Betty's like, we need to put an end to this and us and, you know, whatever this even is, because she does love Jughead still and didn't want to let him go. I mean, it's obviously it's possible to love more than one person at once, but like, I don't know. I mean, the thing that I was kind of thrown for here was that, like, especially in Archie's song, the lyrics he's singing, it makes me think that, like, yes, they have this, like, past version of themselves that they're, like, still obsessed with the idea of that, but the lyrics kind of make me think that they both think they're better than Riverdale and the drama and Jughead and Veronica in some ways. At least his lyrics kind of alluded to that, where it's just, like, we're meant for more than this.
Yeah, but he's also, like, pretty committed to staying in Riverdale and making it better. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, he definitely...
Gonna be a musician.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely felt like he was, but then, I mean, as we see at the end of this episode, yeah, he decides he's gonna join the Naval Academy, which gets him out of Riverdale for a little while.
I mean, it's so odd, because, like, you know, 3 eps ago or whatever, he was, like, going to stay in town and run the youth center for the rest of his life. And then he's in the Naval Academy. Then he's, like, wants to be a musician. And then he, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is, like, 17, 18, so he's allowed to change his mind a lot, but.
Yeah, that's fair. You don't have to, like, have your life planned out yet. But he does change a lot. And I honestly had forgotten about the youth center for a second until you said it again, so.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I think what we should really talk about here is Cheryl. Cheryl's good advice, where she, like, knew what was going on and is like, you're in love with the idea of Archie, which is, like, spot on. Not the actual person. Like, you actually love Jughead.
And she says that's endgame, which I think that's kind of like, you know, who knows? Again, you guys are still in high school, but she's got a good point. They've been through a lot together, and they obviously still love each other. So, yeah, good job there, Cheryl. She was picking up on something, like, episodes back, even when they were faking it, that we were just like, no.
I know. It's so strange.
So, that was definitely the show laying the groundwork there. But Cheryl also, by reading that diary a little bit, learns that younger Betty was mad at her for kissing Archie just because they both had red hair, which feels... I love that detail, too. Mm-hmm. That feels real to me, at least real to Cheryl's character.
Do you want to give the rundown of the Tickle video storyline?
Oh, do I ever. My goodness. I thought this was so fun, and I do love that, like, in just a normal episode, Kevin is driving the plot for the most part. Actually, I mean, it's like Kevin and Reggie, and then they bring, of course, Tony into it, and Fangs has been involved, but I love that. I love that they have a story of their own, and where it starts is, I mean, Fangs and Kevin are still tickling up a storm, and Reggie shows up, and he's, like, heard about it, and they talk about how the money's so good, and I kind of have trouble believing that Tickle video money is better than like pushing drugs, but I don't know. I don't know what drugs go for.
Envelopes of cash. It's insane. Yeah. It's all ones.
But Reggie wants in, and just the way he's talking about it, like, I think that Charles Melton is like good at kind of not is good at selling the comedy in a subtle way. Like, it's very funny, but he's not like, I'm reading a joke right now. I think he's great. And I felt like, again, Bad Boys for Life did not use him to their full advantage. He's funnier than they gave him credit for. Sorry to pick that bone again. But so he wants in, and, you know, we don't see, but we hear that, like, he did a video with them, and it went well,
the
I guess.
Best
and
yet.
Then he, yeah, right. And he pretty immediately is like, well, we can be doing this ourselves. Who needs freaking Terry? And it's like, yeah, I guess. Who needs Terry?
That's true, but he's, like, also trying to find, always trying to find, like, the easiest way to do something. Do you know what I mean? Like, he can't wait for anything.
Right, definitely. And, like, he just pretty immediately was like, okay, we're going to get more football players involved, and then they only want to do it if it's co-ed. And so then he goes to Tony.
Yeah,
of course. Even though they're apparently just all sitting there fully clothed, tickling each other. Oh, yeah, Terry comments on Reggie having a good laugh.
Mm-hmm. It's like an endurance sport. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
guess that gets you paid more.
Yeah, and then she gets the vixens in. I don't know, maybe... mm-hmm. I don't know, the pretty poisons. What happened to them?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that that's why he was talking to her, but she was, like, speaking as a representative of the vixens, which was, yeah, surprising.
Yeah.
But, they have their little party.
Yeah, it's like...
tickle party.
Fishbowl. It's kind of like a 7 minutes in heaven thing, but it's not. It's not sexual, Cameron.
Yeah, of course.
And then what happens ultimately is they get in trouble with Terry. Is that his name? Terry?
Yeah, Terry. Right, because Kevin, like, tries to back out and, like, does it by lying initially. And then they catch him.
Never right. And then, so they try to muscle Terry and his bros out. And then Terry narcs on them to Mr. Honey, who gets them in trouble because they're wearing their fucking uniforms, which was stupid. But they're
high
schoolers,
move.
So they're stupid. And I don't know if this is the end of it, though. It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting just because, like, it does dovetail with all the other, like, voyeur video stuff because this is all being put on video, too. It's like, I don't know, there could be someone pulling strings behind all this in some way. And it would be odd. I guess it wouldn't be that odd for Terry to be like, they're wearing these jerseys, I know who to go to, and just, like, call the school up to get them in trouble. But I don't know, just, you know, knowing now that we really can't trust Mr. Honey for anything, it's like, maybe he's connected to that some way, too.
I agree.
The best and funniest, smartest move of this whole episode was to have Terry and his guys show up and, like, threaten to break Kevin's fingers, which, like, ugh. It's like, because then he could never tickle again.
It was a little Lynchian, that, like,
yeah, that's
the fingers
for sure.
Bending and, yeah.
Yeah, it was tough to see. It kind of freaked me out, but I just think it's so funny where they don't explicitly say this, but almost, where it's like, you'll never tickle in this town again, because they're like, he can't if his fingers are broken, so.
He's like, I think that'd be the least of his problems, but fair enough.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that kind of wraps up the other big plot of the episode. I feel like we've touched on all the big storylines. Again, I was just thrilled that, like, Kevin and Reggie were kind of driving something. And they have every once in a while this season. So that was exciting. What are your thoughts?
I liked it. Well, the Barchi stuff, I was like, this is out of left field.
Uh-huh.
Like, why are they all of a sudden in the bunker together? Like, talking about how they want to make out, but, like, can't. You know, it feels strange. And also then it just feels like this, like, physical manifestation. Like, if you guys want to be together, that's a different thing than you just want to, like, F each other.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's all Archie really wants to do. Who can say? Yeah. Also, the bunker, not a good place for that. Like, everyone knows that spot.
I know. Jughead could walk in there at any moment. He was there all of last episode.
Yeah, poring over tapes. It's the freaking sex bunker. Everyone shows up there all the time.
It's very strange. And, like, there could definitely be a camera down there, too. And also, like, I don't know. If maybe they were trying to imply that they just, like, wanted to hook up behind their significant other's backs. But, if that's what they were trying to imply, it wasn't super clear.
Right. Agreed. But, I mean, the other side of that is that this seems to at least put a pin in Barchi. You know, I don't think we're going to have to worry about their will they, won't they next week. And maybe not for the foreseeable future. Who can say?
Yeah, I wonder if it is going to come back to bite them in the ass, though, like, in the sense that they were like, you were even thinking about it, and that's a problem.
Yeah, like, I mean, Jughead, I don't know.
Finds out, you know?
Right, and we know that people are around town filming everything. It's extremely possible that they could have been filmed in the bunker, on their way into the bunker. Like, it just seems like they weren't being especially careful, especially considering everything else going on.
Mm-hmm. And she did keep that one diary, so the door was always open.
That's right. I forgot Archie's playing that song later, and Mary's like, that's a pretty song for someone very special. I'm sure Veronica loved it, or has she heard it yet? And he's like,
Yeah, no. I mean, if he ever plays that, then, like, she's going to be like, wait a minute, what's this? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the rest of the episode, I thought it was pretty interesting. I think every little storyline got equal time and was compelling. Like, I even thought that the rum stuff was pretty interesting, whereas, like, that would normally kind of fit my, like, least excitable storyline category.
But I liked, I don't know, I thought it was a good ep, and it really was intriguing. And I liked all the plot pieces. Like, I liked the little video store, you know?
Right, it all felt pretty crucial in terms of, like, starting to build towards the season end game, which, knowing that that's highly abbreviated now, like, who knows if it'll actually pay off in the way that was going to feel nice, but I liked where it was headed.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I'm dying to know what's going on with Mr. Honey.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and what did he even give Betty? When he's like, this is for the yearbook. I was like, what is this, like, an old ship captain? Like, what picture is this?
That's true, right?
Yeah.
I forgot about that part. Yeah, Honey's a weirdo.
If we pulled clips for this episode, which we did not, but if we had, I would have pulled the one where she's like, yes, I did volunteer for the yearbook between, you know, getting deprogrammed at the farm and blah, 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 blah.
Like, right, of course.
Yeah.
That was good. Cheryl had some good lines, especially when she called the Malloys, like, the Swamp Thing cast, and then hearing Ethel talk about Ponytail Playmate, I was losing my mind. That is right up my alley. That was so funny to me.
Here's some fan theories you solicited on Twitter.
Yes. We're in the speculation booth now, for what it's worth.
Oh, big time. Patty EK4 says, I think Charles is behind the tapes. There's still the connection to Chick, which most people forgot. And Charles is an FBI agent, has easy access to anything for surveillance. Oh my god, I just stumbled over a person I had completely forgotten and who might be helping Charles as well. Hermosa. I buy it.
Yeah. This listener or follower on Twitter, Patty EK4, had shared a whole series of tweets with thoughts, and it's like pretty much where our head's been too in terms of, like, Charles and Chick, of course, and I forgot about Hermosa. Like, why not?
Yeah, I think it's all makes a lot of sense. I think we've talked about Charles and Chick, and I still buy it. Surveillance thing with the FBI, for sure. And this episode, I did buy him as an FBI agent more. Like, I believed he might actually be one, and not that he's, like, been lying the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like, God, he shows up to the Blue Velvet Rentals place with, like, actually a team of people, we're to believe.
I know. I mean, he could get those people anywhere in, like, a warrant. Yeah. And who knows if that warrant's real, but, like, yeah, I bought it.
Mm-hmm. I did, too. But just because he's part of the FBI doesn't mean he's a good person. The other one I put on here was actually from a commenter on the site on the TV review, and it's looking a little bit more ahead, but I thought it was worth discussing. They said, "My guess: next season, Riverdale will join Katie Keene 5 years into the future after everyone has graduated college. Everyone's back in town for reasons driving the season's arc, and a lot of the episodes will feature flashbacks explaining how the character's familiar status quo changed. For instance, why everyone broke up and now Barchi exists." So
I love
a little
this.
Bit of. I do too. I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think it's cool that they could all of a sudden all come back to Riverdale. Like, maybe they did move away, but they're back for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cameron, that was actually going to be part of my blue and gold later. It's not really blue and gold, but like it's just tangentially related. But I don't know if you've watched the Kevin Keller episode of Katie Keene yet.
Tragically, no.
Ugh, it's a lot. He's great. But like we find out that he kind of had like some kind of like Me Too stuff happen to him and is living back in Riverdale and is like a drama teacher.
Wow.
Which is
okay.
Such a bummer. Like, and he like wrote a script that's basically like about Riverdale. It's called like Cloverdale, you know?
Like Cloverfield meets Riverdale.
Yeah, it's about like the girls. Like, it's very cute, and I recommend watching that episode specifically if you like Riverdale, because like,
yeah.
What's her face? Katie Keene plays Betty. They have like a table read, and like all the cast plays. You know, Ginger plays Veronica. You know, it's cute, and like clearly they know the
photo.
Writing. So.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real bummer. Like I was like, Kevin's like back working at Riverdale High, and he seems bummed about it. So.
That's,
it was a bummer. It was a bummer for my pal Kev.
And no mention of Fangs, which is interesting because, you know, as we hear at the end of this episode, they both essentially have plans to go to college in the same area.
Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon. I think that's
together.
Like really where he went, IRL.
Oh, Kevin?
Casey Cott.
Or Casey Cott?
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense. I love Pittsburgh. I think it's such a cool city.
Great theater school.
Huh. I'm still excited to watch that episode. I've been dying to, and I was curious if it, like, shaded in any blanks. But, again, this theory from the commenter, I think that makes so much sense. I mean, definitely.
And also,
and
like,
I
the
love
whole,
the idea
with college,
of it.
You have to bring in all these new characters. And
yeah,
like,
totally.
Yeah.
It just feels like it was going to feel forced to continue to bring everybody back to Riverdale. But it's like, if they already graduated, and there's, like, one central mystery that's getting them back home, that's really fun to me. I think that that's a cool idea. And they're all, like, slightly different people than we last saw.
Yeah. It could also explain, too, what happened to FP, if we lose him, like, as a recurring, mm-hmm. and Hermione. Like, where'd they go? You know what I mean?
Well, totally. And I was going to say, I mean, that is kind of a bummer in my mind, knowing that, like, we aren't finishing the season as written. So, do we really even get a proper... We probably don't get a proper goodbye to those characters at the end of this season now.
Yeah, I don't think they're going away. I just think they're going away
point.
As recurrings, which I think means like they're on a certain number of eps and you have to pay them a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
But I think they're just going to be like guests where they're in like 4 eps a season or, you know, whatever it is. Like, and they just pay them per ep.
And they can just pop in.
I don't really know SAG rules, Cameron, but that's what I think happens.
Same.
Let's do some more speculation and talk about the name game. Next week's app and the trailer. Did you watch the trailer?
I actually did not.
Oh, my God. We should pause right now and you should go watch it.
Yeah.
I seriously mean that, by the way. It's called Killing Mr. Honey, which is an allusion to Killing Mr. Griffin, the Lois Duncan novel.
Do you know who... She wrote Hotel for Dogs, and, like, I didn't know who she was, really.
Okay, record scratch. Cameron went and watched the trailer. We are back. Cameron, okay, so the trailer totally jibes with Killing
Absolutely.
Mr. whatever it is.
Mr. Griffin, yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely does, because that whole plot is just about these students kind of fed up with their, like, strict, uptight teacher. So they have, like, they hatch this plot to kidnap him. But then he accidentally dies, which I kind of think is what happens in according to the Riverdale teaser. And then it just becomes this whole thing where it's like there's loose ends and infighting, and it kind of all catches up to them. Mm-hmm. And it definitely looks like where we're going here.
I remember it well, actually. I think I read it.
I never did.
But I did find that trailer be very creepy.
Totally.
Like,
I mean, they're all in their
like,
bunny masks.
Kill a man or whatever it is.
Yeah. And then Veronica asks how many of them have experience getting rid of a body, and it's like, yeah, all of them at this point.
I think that they, I don't know. I don't think they kill him. I think he, like, gets away.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty intense that they would, you know, okay, he's a pain in their ass right now. There's, I don't think these characters, as we know them, would actually think that they need to kill him, unless we do end up finding out that he has more of a connection to these tapes and they're like, he's actually a threat to their lives.
Yeah, I'm interested to know how they land on him as a bad guy.
Yeah, definitely. But
senior prank?
Could be that too, that goes wrong. I mean, it seems like they take him to the cabin, like the lodge cabin, maybe. They're definitely somewhere else altogether. So I'm curious about that. I mean, that's the end of the season, so it's like, yeah, sure. We should take our final break and we'll come back to wrap things up with the blue and gold.
Great, we'll be right back. All right, we are back for the latest edition of the Blue and Gold, which is where we talk about our favorite Riverdale adjacent moments every week from the cast, the fans, and beyond. Cameron, I did mine, which was not necessarily my favorite, but it's the last episode of Katie Kane was really worth watching.
Oh, yeah. And I will watch it.
I just really enjoy that show. I know we talked about it on the podcast, and I'd love to hear viewers' thoughts as well. And then I know you have one of them. Jordan Sweet Pea Connor was on Celebrity Drag Race.
Yeah,
Celebrity
wild.
Being a loose term. God bless him, love him. He was really good.
He won
as I hated it that all the guys were like, they'd be like, "What's your drag name?" And they'd be like, "Well, my girlfriend's two dogs when she was growing up." It's like they're using that like porn name idiom thing, you know?
Oh,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like the street
right.
You grew up on, and like that's not really how most people's fucking drag names come to be, but sure.
No. Yeah, I mean, just kind of a trip that he was on there to begin with. Like we had like looked at, you know, the names of the folks that were on the episode, and it was like, okay, I know of Nico Tortorella, not Tortellini, that's what everyone jokingly calls him online, but I know of Nico Tortorella and
Fowler.
I know of Jermaine, and then I was like, Jordan Connor, who is that? I looked him up and I was like, oh shit, yeah, I know him well. But I just, the reason why I couldn't think of it is because I never would expect the show one to go for Jordan Connor. Like, he's not... I do like him on Riverdale. He's a handsome guy, but like he's
maybe
very
Charles
much a
Melton or something. I don't
yeah,
know.
Of course.
How'd they land there?
He's very much an actor that has been in some Canadian stuff, but I think really only Riverdale, as far as I know, is broken
looking
through.
Looking for
with,
Alaska,
but...
apparently on Hulu. He's like in
oh,
that, which kind of explains
right.
Where he has been on Riverdale this season. In that he's
that's
not
true.
Really in it.
And people like that show. I think that ended up being a
yes,
pretty successful
yes, but I still feel
thing.
Like when he got cast on that, he wasn't in that yet or wasn't like fully
sure,
in that. So that's
maybe.
Why all the jokes are Riverdale jokes. Although they're yeah. very thin. They're like, we're not in Riverdale anymore. I'm like, okay. but like, I don't know. I wonder how that show was cast. If you really want to get into like the nitty gritty of Celebrity Drag Race, like mm-hmm. how that really... Like, if they put out a call and said, submit your people, and then they picked, you know?
Yeah, true. I mean, I would think they'd put out cast a pretty wide net.
Or if they went after people specifically, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I guess you're right. Like, Jordan ends up winning, and, like, his snatch game is
awful.
As funny as it can be, but, like...
it was so... Ugh. I thought the makeup was bad. I thought he was supposed to be Chrissy Teigen, and I... Anyways, but I mean, like, he kind of vogued, so he had like a little yeah. something to bring to the lip sync for your life.
Right. And they loved that. They ate that up. Yeah, that show was wild. Safe to say that's the last Riverdale folk person we'll see on that, but like,
I think so, yeah.
wild. the other thing, you know, Riverdale people showing up everywhere these last few weeks. The other thing is that as of today, the day we're recording, Dangerous Lies has dropped on Netflix. Was not anything I had heard of until you passed the press email on to me. We got invited to the junket, and you know what? I did it. And I talked to Camila Mendez and her co-star Jesse T. Usher for a few minutes about the movie. And as I mentioned to you earlier, I on the call was like, oh, and blah, blah, blah. And Cammy, you this. And I was like, oh, God, that's like the familiar. That's what I don't know her actually at all, but I talk about her all the time. I should have called her Camila, but I said Cammy, and I hope she didn't. That was really weird, but I went there.
That's like what people call her on Instagram and yeah, stuff. So like,
that's true.
Right? But so like, and, if you were familiar with her. Yeah. Did you ask about Riverdale?
I did not have time to as explicitly as I wanted, but I had them do this thing at the beginning where they, where I basically played two truths and a lie with them at the beginning, and I presented their co-stars with facts about each other. And the Cammy lie, because she went to NYU with Cole Sprouse, but they weren't friends there. But the lie I gave for Cammy was that she and Cole were friends, her Riverdale co-star were friends at NYU. And Jesse did not guess that. But then she went on to be like, yeah, I always say that I remember seeing him, but he doesn't remember me at all. And so we got a little Riverdale talk in there in that sense.
Was she at her house? And what did her house look like? What was her background? 1 to 10.
She was, it looked bright, and she just had a white wall behind her. It was kind of like a, yeah. I mean, that's what I do too.
It's because when they put, they like export it, and they'll put like a Dangerous Lies logo on there when they send it to you. So anyways.
Yeah, right. But it looks white.
I want like bookshelves. I want,
yeah,
you know,
see the stuff on the book. I had to imagine, just because it was as bright and sunny looking as it was, that she's in LA. It's my guess. But obviously cool to talk to her. The movie is out there now. It's a weird sensation watching the movie, because I really did kind of, like, I think she's super capable in it, but it isn't like a role that is highly differentiated from Veronica from scene to scene, beyond the fact that, like, this character is not a super, super rich upstate New York person or whatever Veronica is from. But there were just times where I feel like my brain was trying to tell me that I was, like, watching a Riverdale episode from time to time.
Yeah, it's so odd. And that mm-hmm. movie really, like, Dangerous Lies is a horrible name for a movie, but...
Oh,
if you're trapped
I mean,
at home
yeah.
and you're just watching Netflix, you can probably find worse things to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting in that, like, Elliot Gould is in it, just kind of shows up, which is a surprise because he's, like, a Hollywood icon. And then, like, Jamie Chung, who I always like, has a small role. And I don't know if the name Cam Gigande.
I've seen yeah. Twilight, Cameron.
Yeah, of course. I was going to say, he felt like such a thing for a little bit of time, and I haven't seen him much lately.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Burlesque, too, which is also on streaming on Netflix, and that is a wild, wild movie.
Well, maybe, you know, have a Netflix party this weekend and watch Dangerous Lies with your Riverdale friends.
Yeah, you might as well now, because after next week's episode... No, that's not true. So there's are the final episode of the season, and then the following week, the 14th, all of it goes up on Netflix. So then you can just spend all your free time rewatching the season, if you'd like.
I'm trying to piece it all together. Like, watch from the beginning and be like, oh... Or
yeah, like, and remind yourself that, like, Julian happened this season, the doll. Believe it or
can
not.
Can you believe it? Oh, and, like, the beginning of the season, we still got... No, I guess that was the end of last season, right? When Chad Michael Murray was still in it. Or was that the beginning of this
season? Oh, no, that was the beginning of this season, for sure. Because they all run off, and we get to see him die at the beginning of this season.
It seems forever ago.
It does. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it feels like the season's ending too soon, but it also, I mean, we truly are only a few episodes away from the end. It's just like,
literally
the way they structure
episode.
Things. It, yeah.
Oh,
that's what I mean,
but
right?
Yeah, but like we would have been like maybe 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah. Anyway.
And yeah, this feels like a good place to end at the end.
I think so.
Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineer is Stacey Gerard. The show is hosted by me, Mara Aiken, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, you can tell your friends, give us a 5-star review, and listen to us everywhere podcasts are found. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DialM4Maple. We will see you guys next week for the season 4 finale, directed by Machen Amick.
Ooh. All right. Bye-bye, Bulldogs. See you soon.